Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey, how y'all doing? It is your girl, Dede Leggett, and I'm here with another episode of the Core Queen Chat. I have an amazing special guest for y'all today. Y'all, I'm excited to have her because she's about to teach me some stuff, okay? So y'all need to tune in and make sure y'all comment, ask questions, because I got questions too. But before I bring her on the show, I'm going to introduce you to my special guest, Ms. Bianca Pittman. Bianca is a holistic womb healer, a mompreneur, and founder of BU Beauty, a brand devoted to empowering women through holistic feminine wellness. She is passionate about helping women reconnect with their bodies, release generational trauma, and embrace their inner power. As a devoted mother, Bianca guides women to prioritize sacred self-care and holistic well-being. Y'all welcome Bianca to the show.
Hi, everyone. Bless Bianca. Since everyone, thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited for this conversation.
I am excited about it too, because Lord, I should have brought me a notebook so I could take notes, because I know I'm about to learn some stuff today.
Sure you are.
Well, first of all, tell me where you from, like a little bit about your upbringing. Let the people know about you a little bit more.
Okay, so I'm originally from Teaneck, New Jersey. My name is Bianca, aka Divine Mother. I have been bi-coastal from New Jersey to LA for the last 5 years. I moved to LA in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic, and just expanded my business, had a beautiful miracle manifestation baby. And now I'm back and forth. You know, the village is on the East Coast, so gotta be where the village is at. So that's absolutely where I'm planting my seeds right now. My origin of where I'm from. And yeah, I love California, but you know, the journey changes when you have children. So
yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah. What part of Jersey did you say?
Teaneck. It's northern Jersey. It's probably about like 10 minutes from the George Washington Bridge.
Okay. I'm from Bristol, Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia. So
Not too close to hours.
So can you share what feminine wellness and womb health means to you?
So feminine wellness and womb health to me means that you are someone who is tapped into the sacral power of your womb. You know that your womb is more than just a physical organ. It's more than, you know, your uterus and your fallopian tubes and your ovaries. You know that it's an energetic center, and you move in such a way. Being more mindful of, you know, the products that you use. You're mindful of the men that you entertain. You're mindful of the food that you eat. So just living a life of intention when it comes to your feminine health.
I'm so glad you said that. Because I always tell like my daughter and like younger girls to protect your womb. Because I don't think in my generation, we weren't really taught that a lot. And we were using the womb as a way to soothe in ways that we probably shouldn't have been. So like, you got to understand how precious and important the womb is. It's so many things that flow from it. So
I have a powerful poem that I like to read. I don't know if you're open to it. It's called "And I Call Myself a Woman."
Yeah, go ahead and read it.
It's out of the Sacred Woman book. And it can be a little triggering, I'll say. But we're all adults and we all made, you know, certain decisions, and it's okay. So let's see if I can find it. I should have had it ready, but I wasn't sure. I'll find it in the next 2 pages. Okay. I can find it. But it was a very powerful poem. Kind of, oh, here it is. So it's called "And I Call Myself a Woman." How can I become a woman when I don't know my womb? I've never had a conversation with my womb, so how can I ever consider myself a woman? I've been with you, grown with you, been through rites of passages with you from childhood to adolescence to adulthood, and yet I've never had a conversation with you. You've been a victim, a consequence to an action, a symptom of a disease, an effect of my action. I've never spoken to you, consulted with you, inquired of you, cared for you, or understood you. And I call myself a woman. Where have I grown? How could I have grown without talking with you, without acknowledging your presence and your works? And I call myself a woman. I have put you through dozens of men, alien spirits, beings, entities of all dimensions. From places and stations, I've created and destroyed babies through you. I've fed you all kinds of poisons, thereby creating diseases, fibroids, tumors, cysts, and the like. I've sexually abused you, thereby creating sexually transmitted diseases, infections of all types, itching, burning, hurting, pain. I've used you for my own purposes, money, favors, alleged self-esteem, beauty, clothing, food. I've allowed men to probe you, doctors to drug you while I held you down. And if I've known someone who had done all these things, I will call them names I despise the most. Murderer, thief, liar, betrayer, demon. Yes, I would, and I call myself a woman. It's time to release, forgive me. I am complete. I will be responsible for you, for myself, for my womb. We're in a relationship together. We have been from the very, very beginning. I will commune and communicate with you. I will listen to you. I will wash, cleanse, and purify you. I'll pay attention to your patterns, your moods, your signs, and your wonders. I will become the woman that you made me from the beginning. Yes. So that to me is feminine wellness and womb healing. When you're living a life of intention, based whatever, you know, circumstances may have happened in the past, but once you know better, you do better. And, you know, carrying out from then on, you live a life of intention and you're just more mindful of your well-being and your connection to your womb.
So. Absolutely. I like that. That was good. That was really good. That's a necessary poem.
Yes.
Every girl needs to read that.
Yes, like, and like you said, you know, where you've come from a generation where, you know, it's a taboo topic to talk about your period, your womb, anything. My mom worked for Planned Parenthood for 20 years when I was growing up. So I was always having these conversations. Okay. My mom was always having these conversations with my friends. And then I realized that, like, this is not something that happens in everybody's household.
Nope.
You know? So when I started my podcast, Coochie Conversations, it's the taboo topics that nobody really wants to talk about when it comes to our feminine health, because certain things that we go through as women, I realize even in childbirth, is like a rites of passage. Sometimes you don't learn anything about, it's like a secret society. You don't learn anything about that rites of passage until you're actually in it. And, you know, I created this platform just to get women ready for whether it's menopause, whether it's their birthing experience, or just their sexual feminine health. Right. So that's where, yeah.
Absolutely. So how does trauma affect women's reproductive health?
Well, I feel that trauma, there's a couple reasons how trauma can affect somebody's reproductive health. One is epigenetics. And just, you know, trauma doesn't just start or end with one person. So we don't often realize that, you know, when a woman is pregnant, that baby feels everything. Mm-hmm. You know? And I have this conversation sometimes with my clients and I ask them, like, you know, have you ever had a conversation with your mom to see what she experienced while she was pregnant with you? Did she experience, you know, a loss? A breakup, a separation, you know, even a wedding, like any, whether it's happy or sad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from those conversations, like even when speaking to my mom had like a really traumatic pregnancy with me. Mm-hmm. And I had like, I'm half white. So my father was white, my mom's black, and my grandparents didn't want a nigga grandbaby. So her whole pregnancy was, am I going to abort this baby? Am I going to keep this baby? If I keep the baby, like, what is her experience going to be like? And so mm-hmm. she was just going back and forth with that her whole pregnancy and not realizing that I was, you know, feeling all of those things. And then you see it kind of, so there's a concept, I don't know if you ever heard it, that every woman has spent 5 months in her grandmother's.
Yep. Home.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, if I'm pregnant and I'm pregnant with a little girl at 4 months gestation, she gets her ovaries and a woman gets her ovaries and her eggs. That's all the eggs she'll ever have. So, mm-hmm. you know, innately you were in her, you know, in your grandmother's mm-hmm. womb, feeling all of those things that she felt, not just your mom, but what yeah. your grandmother felt. And if you're black and you're part mm-hmm. of the black experience and what we've been through, you know, generationally, a lot of women don't realize that they're born with trauma.
What happened to me on the screen? Sorry, Bianca. Hold on one second. All right.
We're back.
Yeah.
Like, I think of it, like, for example, like, you know, if you have a woman in your family on your mom's maternal side, and they all had experience with sexual trauma or mm-hmm. domestic violence, you see that passed down generations. For me, my mom had fibroids. My grandmother had fibroids. My grandmother had hysterectomy. My mom didn't. And I didn't have fibroids, but I have polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is a hormonal imbalance. So for me, that's how my brand, that's how I got into the feminine wellness space, was healing myself from polycystic ovarian syndrome. I went, you know, the average child goes in through her first period, which is known as menarche, between like 9 is early, but 9 to like 14 years old. And when I was 17 years old, I still didn't get a period. Wow. So I had to, yeah. So my mom was working at Planned Parenthood at the time. And they're like, if she's 17 and a half and she still doesn't get her period, we have to bring it down. So 17 and a half, sending it a period, they had to bring it down and then put me on birth control to regulate my period. Mm. And at first I thought I was a unicorn because, you know, everybody complains about these periods. So mm-hmm. when I wasn't getting one, it was just like, okay, girl, I don't want that anyway. But when I ended up on birth control, I did get my period, or what we can, that's a whole nother topic of birth, of your period on birth control not being a real period. But when I did have a cycle, it was very painful. It was, most doctors will tell you, oh, go on birth control so, you know, your period can be less cramps and this and that. And mine, it was like the opposite. Like, I felt like I had a demon inside of me every month. So when I stopped taking the birth control and I didn't get my period for like 10 years, I was okay with that. Until I turned 28 and I was like, all right, girl, you ain't getting your period. You ain't getting pregnant. Like, what's going on? Unicorn phase over. So I went to the endocrinologist and I found out I had polycystic ovarian syndrome. And his only treatment for me was birth control. And I'm like, I'm not going back on birth control. And he's like, if you don't get a natural period within 6 months, you're prone to breast cancer and uterine cancer. And I'm like, well, if I'm on birth control for 20 years, I'm prone to breast cancer and uterine cancer. You're not telling me how long I have to be on this, you know, whatever birth control method for to get a natural period. And he just was just talking about birth control, and I decided to do something more natural, and I yoni steamed. And I created a blend like this, and it gave me a period in 4 days. And it inspired me to want to become certified. So I'm certified in healing the vagina through whole foods and traditional Chinese medicine. And I certified yoni steam practitioner. So that's how BU Beauty blossomed into the feminine wellness space, just trying to give women a more holistic approach to their feminine care, because, you know, a lot of these.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Conventional brands that we use every day are packed with a bunch of chemicals. And, you know, our wombs are porous. We absorb everything. You know, the skin itself is the largest organ. So not to mention your vagina is the same. So I always describe it as the same. We have the same skin in our vagina as we have in our mouths.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, you know, take a pill or something and you put it in your cheek, it can go straight into your blood system. Same thing with your vagina. So you're using bad pads, bad tampons, bad vaginal products, and they're going straight into your womb. And it shows as fibroids, endometriosis, painful cycles, and or infertility. And we look at it as, oh, it's just a part of being a woman.
Yep. I agree. So, I'm glad you mentioned the yoni steams, because I don't think a lot of women educate themselves on it. I go monthly to get one. It's changed everything. Like, it really helps.
I mean, I had a baby. Like, I've been able to heal so many women. At first, I thought I was just here to help other women get pregnant. And I was I was just like, you know what? The doctor told me I was infertile because I wasn't getting a period, blah, blah. So I'm like, all right, I guess that's my calling. And no, it was just when I was ready. And, you know, had I not did this yoni steam, I would have never gotten a period. I would have still been trying to fight with birth control. And I think that's another way to disconnect us from our wombs. Because the birth control shuts off your hormones.
Yes.
And we're, you know, we're cyclical beings. So, like, we go based off the phases of the moon. And when you shut off your hormones, you don't know when you're ovulating or what your menstrual phases are actually like. You just know that when I take these sugar pills in the middle, I'm going to bleed, which is not a real period. It's breakthrough bleeding because there's no hormones in the contraceptive that you're taking for those days. You're not having a natural period if your period, your hormones are shut off. So just teaching women how to, you know, fertility awareness, and that you don't have to be on birth control. You can't get pregnant every time you have sex. But the problem is we don't have enough sex education in schools. We're only to use condoms and don't get pregnant. We're not taught about the feminine body.
I agree. So in what ways can childhood trauma physically manifest in women's reproductive system?
I think we see it a lot, like when women who have been sexually abused as children or, you know, in their teenage years, it shows up as an adult. We can be very disconnected from our wombs. We can be very disconnected during sex, or we can be hypersexual. And I think all of those things are, you know, they stem from whatever childhood experience we've had and didn't do the work, the healing. Even for myself, I've had sexual traumas that part of this business is best to help other people or other women, but it's helping me heal my sexual traumas and the traumas that my traumas of womb wellness and things that I've experienced. So in me healing myself, I just help and pass the information along. But I really do think that, you know, we see it also in whereas a woman could be sexually abused as a child and now she thinks she's gay. You know, she may have, whether you're born gay or not, but there are times when you've been forced, when you didn't have a choice, and now you think that this is your choice. So those are some ways that I feel like childhood traumas definitely affect us. And then sometimes I've had clients that she had childhood sexual abuse and she couldn't even stick a tampon in her vagina. Like, and she literally had to go to like healers and hypnosis and certain doctors and things just to teach her how to open up and feel safe enough to explore herself in that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think people talk about these things. Of course, like you said earlier, it's taboo to have these types of conversations because it's uncomfortable. And especially in the Black community where just talking about sex at all, it's like, we're not doing it.
Just patriarchal society where when we are even taught about sex, I feel like too, it's always about pleasing the partner. It's always about a woman pleasing a man. You know, it's not how dare you want to be pleased. You know, how dare you have a clitoris that has 8,000 nerve endings that's only there for pleasure. So it's a hard topic to discuss when you aren't really appreciated in the equation. I feel like we're just, it's kind of like pick me energy where you know, we're taught to please our man, we're taught to dress a certain way, act a certain way, look a certain way, and when we're in the bed we're taught to solely focus on our partners, to where women don't even know how to have conversations amongst each other because they don't know what they should be looking for sometimes.
Yeah, and a lot of women don't even have, like, they haven't found their voice to say if they're satisfied or not. They just accept whatever.
That's another, thing that I teach my clients, that your vocal cords and your pelvis are connected. So in layman's terms, I tell them, every time you don't speak up for yourself, your coochie gets whacker. Because your pelvic floor weakens every time that you don't speak up for yourself, because the throat and the pelvis are connected, and all emotions, unsaid things, feelings, everything gets stored in the womb. So it's like if we're not speaking up for ourselves, it gets stored there. And when you have that 1 month where you feel like, oh my God, my period was just terrible this month, then you got to think about, well, what did you go through in the last 30 days? Because it's not always what you ate. Some things is energetic.
Yeah. Energy is real. It is real.
It is. And that's why I tell people, you know, everything starts out as energy before it turns into something physical. And this is why traumas and things get passed down energetically. And then they show up physically as, you know, whatever hormonal imbalance or period that you have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have to be more mindful of the energy. Like, this is why I think the Bible talks, and I'm not even religious, I'm spiritual, but the Bible talks about sex the way it talks about it as far as being married, because it's a sacral energy exchange. We're having sex with these people as a woman, like I mentioned earlier, our vaginas are very porous. So we're taking in literally all that energy of that person.
Yep.
Whether he's sad, his depression, his financial wounds, his mother wounds, his father, everything, and literally allowing him to dump that energy into our womb.
Yep.
And this is why things like yoni steaming and stuff is a great modality to purge and detox.
Yes. I used to tell one of my friends, like, she didn't want to listen to me and she was like out here being promiscuous. And I'm like, this is why you can't focus. You have so many different energies and DNAs in your, like, you're so scatterbrained. you can't focus. Like, you gotta relax. You gotta slow down. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah, and people, people are just like, it doesn't permeate the way. But then they go through something in life where they have an aha epiphany moment. It's not when you bring it up. But then it's woe is me after that, because now you think about all the partners you had and all the times you could have said no. And it's like, well, you know, you live and you learn. Energy is definitely real. And sometimes I have clients that, you know, have reoccurring BV all the time, and it's not their diet. It's not the product. And it's not all these things, but I know what it is. And then when I say, well, you know, maybe you and your partner, maybe it's just a sign that you and your partner are not in alignment anymore. Nobody wants to hear that. I've parted ways in partnerships because after a while, I just started feeling angry. It was angry down there, and I didn't understand why. And it was only because we were no longer in alignment.
Yeah.
And that's ways that your womb talks to you, but we're so disconnected that we don't even take those things into consideration. Like, oh, I have terrible cramps this month. Maybe it's my womb telling me that something is out of balance, as opposed to the doctor saying, oh, well, it's just a part of your period, just part of being a woman.
Yeah, gotta listen to our womb. So what do you say to women? Because I hear this back and forth a lot on social media, where women are like very competitive and they think that they can move like men move when it comes to sex. And men are always like, you're not a man. You can't do that.
I was having a conversation with my partner about that yesterday. So in the past, I've had a partner where I was always the dominant partner. And when I got with my partner now, it was like, you don't have to always be in control. And I think sometimes women are put in control because of the male, other partner's inadequacy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we just feel like we want to be the masculine partner. And I think it's a time and a place for that. But I really feel like, you know, a part of being feminine is to be submissive. However, you have to feel a lot of the women who are trying to compete with their man in bed as for the masculine title, I feel like it's because they don't feel safe with their partner. Mm-hmm. They don't feel safe enough to want to submit and open up to this person. So they feel like they have to be in competition with them. Because if you feel safe, emotionally safe or physically safe with a person, then you will allow yourself to surrender.
Yes.
So I think a lot of it is women not feeling safe.
Yeah, I think that's like most of the times, like, because most of women will literally submit so easily.
Right.
Like if they security.
Mm-hmm. Did you give me that security? Then we're fine. But if I feel like I gotta, you know, have my back up like a cat and be on the, you know, the lookout, then this is competition. Yeah. This is fight or flight.
Right. So what about women who feel like they should be able to have multiple partners like men have multiple partners?
And that's where I kind of see the fine line between poly relationships. I understand like a woman wanting to feel worshipped in that sense. But I don't feel like you need to have that sexual validation that men feel like they need to have. I think for men, it's a big ego thing. Mm-hmm. I think when a woman knows her power, she doesn't have to move that way.
Nope.
At all. Mm-hmm. And it's not even like, I know we say the power of the pussy all the time. And it's not even just, when I say pussy, it's like, and I know it can be a vulgar word. I just had put this on my social media like 2 days ago. Like, how were you taught about the word pussy? Like, and when, are you intrigued by it? Are you, you know, disgusted by it. But when I use that word, I'm using it as, like I said earlier, as the whole energetic center being something that's powerful, not just, it's not powerful physically because you know, we're having sex and you may ejaculate quick. Like it's not my ego that makes my pussy powerful. It's the energy and how I build that sacred energy within my womb that makes it powerful. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of women have the pussy power mixed up.
I think so too.
And yeah. The cat just started screaming in the background. So I think
you talking about me. That's funny. Oh my goodness. So how can unresolved trauma be stored and passed down generationally, even without direct abuse?
I think through, like I mentioned earlier, like epigenetics, and just being in stressful, environments. Stress and things get passed down generationally too. It's not always... I'm stressed, you know, it's my stress. Stress kills and it also gets passed down. So I feel like, I feel like it's trauma and things that are stored in the body that gets passed down. Yeah. It doesn't have to be something.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Physical that's happened to us. We didn't experience slavery, but we have stresses and environmental, you know, things that have happened to us that make us feel, you know, the empathy and the stress of the experience without us having to go through it.
Because I had a conversation this morning. I was on the radio and the host said that she's never experienced childhood trauma, but she couldn't figure out how or why she was engaging or attracting men that were like less than acceptable, treating her a certain way. Mm. And I'm like, that has to be directly connected to your childhood. There's something there.
Or her past. It could be a past life thing. Again, so that's a whole nother situation. But it can be something that her mom experienced. You know, her mom may have not had childhood trauma, but your mom may have went through a lot of trauma when she was pregnant with you. Yeah. And that's why some women I talk to, and I'll talk to them about yoni steaming, and they go, well, I don't have painful periods. And it's like, it's not just about having painful periods. Because I feel like if you have a vagina, you need to be steaming it.
Period. Absolutely.
Like, that's just number one for me. But I also have come to the realization that, like, this, when you have that inkling that you want to start this journey of vaginal steaming, it's because you're being led by your ancestors to heal your generation. And what did they say? Many are chosen, many are called or something like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like you have to answer the call. And everybody is not willing to do that work. It gets deep. Like you're not only healing your own traumas, you're healing your generational traumas. I've had women sit on my yoni steam and heal mother wounds and have past life recognitions and everything. So it's like, you just never really know what's going to come up. So it becomes kind of scary, but it's also necessary because, like I said, it's not always about you having a painful period. It's the energy that's been passed down. And when you heal yourself, you heal your whole lineage.
Yes, I agree. I think everybody definitely, if you got a vagina, you need to be steaming it.
Like, I'm not into yoni pearls. So like people ask me like, why aren't you, you know, when are you going to sell yoni pearls? Why don't you sell yoni pearls? And my one, I'm not interested in anything that's going to sit in my vagina for 3 days at a time, because when I leave a yoni steam out for 3 days, I see mold on top of it. So number one. Number two, there's a lot of fake herbs and things. Like people, you know, you buy, people buy these pearls from China, slap their label on it and sell it. You know, all of my stuff are custom blended. I put each herb in there. I know why I'm using each herb. And then lastly, for me, it's very masculine. It's you just sticking like a tampon in and going about your day, as opposed to a yoni steam where it's more feminine. You have to sit with yourself. You have to, you know, really commune. And I feel like with the pearls, you don't get the spiritual benefits you get when you do the yoni steam. Like, it's not purging the sexual energies. It's not balancing your chakras. It's not doing those things.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Do you see patterns in families, for example, like mothers and daughters sharing similar health challenges? Like you mentioned earlier, fibroids.
Even if they're not like the same, like you said, they're similar. So like for me, my mom had fibroids. My grandma had fibroids. I have PCOS. I have a cousin that has, I have three other cousins that have PCOS. And it all stems from my mom's side, from the of the family. Yeah. Cause even my cousin that has PCOS, her dad and my mom are brother and sister. So I think she got it from her dad, which, and then, my other two cousins, they're my grandmother's like sister's kids. So it's all, on the maternal side.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like for me, I just wish that I was older and into this work back then, because I could have prevented, you know, it's a war on the wombs, it's a war on the Black wombs especially. And one of the reasons why I wanted to help other women is to give them a holistic alternative to hysterectomies. Like 700,000 hysterectomies done a year. And like 300,000 of them are done on Black women. And we just need more, you know, options, because it's a genocide for you to just take my womb out because I have fibroids, or, you know, because I have a heavy period or something like that. Like, so it's sad how, you know, they're trying to replace the woman. They're trying to replace the womb with robots being able to have babies and men being able to breastfeed, and all this is just trying to make it seem like the woman is replaceable. So I just try to give women as much, you know, information as possible, because we gotta save our wombs and save your placentas.
Yes. Yeah.
I had my son at home, so.
Oh, did you?
Unassisted, by myself, me and my partner, and we saved everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Ooh, definitely, you are a warrior.
I wanted a home birth ever since I was like 9 years old, and moving to California allowed me to have the birthing experience that I've always envisioned.
Wow,
yeah. I would have never been able to have it here in New Jersey.
Well, I am happy for you. That is awesome. My daughter wanted a home birth, but she chickened out.
It's beautiful. I mean, so now I teach women how to have home births. I teach women how to cultivate a peaceful pregnancy, because my pregnancy, I didn't have any morning sickness. My labor was like pretty easy. So just teaching women like that healthy periods aren't painful, and having a baby doesn't have to be, not to say it's going to be, I mean, I know women that have orgasms during labor. However, it doesn't have to be as painful as we perceive it to be. There's a lot of reasons why I feel like the medical industry makes birthing like harder for women, like just us laying on our backs when we don't need to be laying on our backs, you know, like just little things that they make us do in the hospital, that when you have autonomy over your birth experience, you kind of just flow and do things that feel good to you.
Yeah. Okay. So how does cultural silence around women's bodies add the generational trauma?
I feel like, because if nobody's going to talk about it, like, how do we feel? How do we feel important? How do we feel valued and worthy if it's a conversation that nobody wants to talk about? How is it like we go to churches or it's like, oh, you're on your menstrual, you can't come in here. You know, it's like they make us feel so separated from society all because we have this period every month. And like I said, I thought that my period was, you know, this debilitating thing, just like everybody else did, until I realized like healthy periods aren't painful. And there's just a sacredness in your cycles. But we're not taught to even connect with our cycles because God forbid a woman knows how powerful she is. Wow. You know, it's like they always want us to be in this like Eve, submissive, silent energy, whereas there's like this dark goddess like Lilith who, you know, has a say so and speaks up for herself and she don't take no shit from nobody. But it's like, right, we're not allowed to have that energy because how dare we, you know, step into our power? How dare we know that, you know, the woman is God?
Right.
So by silencing her. So we keep you quiet. So you never know your power. You never know your worth. And you're not going to feel comfortable talking about it with other women either. So you're not going to, you know, open up and find out your power because it's a conversation that nobody talks about.
Right.
So this is how we keep you meek and small.
Mm. I was having a conversation the other day with one of my friends and his teenage daughter, of course, is, you know, in her puberty state. And he was mentioning how he felt like she was being a hypochondriac about her cycle. Every month, like she's being just dramatic. And so I just asked a couple of questions. Like, I mean, have you like really had a conversation with her? Have you had her check to make sure like it's nothing more than what she's saying with it? Because it could be fibroids. It could be something more serious.
Is the mom not around?
Yeah, she's there. He said they got her checked out and then everything is normal. And I'm like, according to who?
Right. Right. Because just like you're kind of silencing her pain, they do the same thing in the hospital. So if nobody is taking this young girl's pain, whether it's excruciating or not, if nobody's taking it into consideration or they're making it a big deal, then how's she ever going to know? Like, how's anybody ever going to know?
Yeah. Because
if that wasn't the Black experience, like, it would be different. Like, okay, I can take her to the hospital or something and they'll do something. But when you take them to the hospital, they don't do nothing. So it's normal. Yeah. But what is normal? Because it's normal. Did they tell you that it's normal to have painful periods? It's just a part of being a woman.
Yeah. And that's what kind of disturbed me because he kind of like, well, she's a hypochondriac anyway. And I'm like, she's a kid.
Right. Like, that stuff like that becomes traumatic because she'll grow up realizing that nobody cared about how I felt when I was younger. And then you're going to feel like nobody cares about how I feel now.
Yeah.
And then you don't know how to advocate for yourself because you feel like nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel like it starts at home that like, regardless if you feel like she's a hypochondriac or not, you got to treat everything as if it's a big deal when it comes to that, like.
Yeah, and they kind of like was like, well, you're not the first one to get a cycle and you won't be the last. I'm like, but
and this is why I have something like this called the Coochie Kit. It's called the Coochie Kit. And it's a feminine box of all the products that we make. So we have the Yoni Steam. We have Moontime Tea, which is great for your cycle. It helps with cramps, give you energy. Gives you iron and stuff, has a yoni oil, comes with a bar of our yoni soap or a...
I'm ordering that as soon as we get off of here.
Yeah, so, and then it comes with a sample of our all natural pads. But it's a great box for a woman who is trying to have a more holistic experience to her feminine care, someone who is now knowledgeable and doesn't want to, you know, buy into all the chemicals and stuff in the everyday products. Or it's great for a young girl who has just introduced to her period for the first time because me and my friend always have this joke, you're a third generation Dove user. So it's like, traumas aren't the only thing that get passed down. What we eat and what we use in our house gets passed down because we've seen it in our bathrooms. Whether mm-hmm. it's good or not, your mom used it, your grandma used it, you use it. You may not even have a real personal liking to it or experience really, or think it does the best, but you use it because it's something familiar because your family used it. Mm-hmm. So when you have a young girl who's just starting her period, this is going to, you know, set the tone for her whole feminine experience, as in, okay, I started using these products. And then when she's our age, she's going to still be using these good products because right. she was introduced to it at an early age. So
absolutely. So necessary. I'm ordering it.
Thank you.
So, what practices can women use to reconnect with their womb and body after trauma?
I would say yoni steaming, definitely. Even just womb meditations where you just put your one hand on your heart, one hand on your womb, and do like deep breathing and kind of ask her questions. Or you can even say, I'm sorry. There's something called a Ho'oponopono prayer. And it's like, I think it's, thank you, I love you, I'm sorry. And just being able to do that and hold yourself and speak that is, I mean, it's probably becomes very emotional experience, depending on what you've been through. I always like when women like write a letter to their yoni, and burn it or release it, or apology letter, or even a love letter, just or a letter of gratitude where you're, you know, like for me, like if I didn't feel powerful before giving birth to my son, like if I didn't know what power was then, it I knew at that moment. And I was just so grateful that I trusted my body enough to allow it to do what it's made to do. We're in a space where so many women are scared to surrender and just trust themselves. We rather, you know, we're taught to trust the medical professionals because
you can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with the Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
We went to school for 10 years, as opposed to trusting our intuition in the body that we've been in for however long. So meditation, yoni semen, yoni eggs are great. They're crystals that, depending on the crystal, it infuses that energy into your womb. So for me, I love starting with, now I have a story with the yoni egg. Some of them are very powerful. So like, I had wanted to use a black obsidian yoni egg one time. And if you're familiar with crystals, black obsidian is like a very porous stone. It's a protection stone. It's made from like lava. And they have it as a yoni egg. So when you use it as a yoni egg, it does a lot of shadow work, a lot of purging of things that you've swept under the rug, it's gonna come up. So I was ready to use this stone. I bought it and I had a dream that night. I didn't use it yet, but I had a dream. And when I had my dream, I inserted it and it shocked me through my whole body. And I woke up and I was like, I'm not ready. Like the dream was like, you gotta hold on to that. So like 4 months later, I was sexually assaulted. And part of my womb healing was now to return to this yoni egg that I bought months ago. And who knew that that's when I was gonna need it? I didn't need it 4 months ago, I needed it then. And you insert them and you allow them to do its work. Sometimes you feel a little like cramping. Sometimes they'll stay in there for 2 days. Sometimes they'll stay in there for a week. But when it comes out, you know that it you did the work. So I use that one maybe like once or twice a year. Not even because it's that powerful. Like, so eclipse season is now. I will do it now because it's season. But then, like, the rose quartz is love. So I love my rose quartz yoni egg. It helps infuse. It's great for women who've had loss. It infuses a lot of love and harmony within the womb. So yoni eggs, meditation, yoni steaming. I think those are great ways to start.
That's good, because I don't think people are, a lot of people are educated on those things. And of course, they're not talked about openly all the time.
People just like touching yourself, but not in a pleasure way. Or like checking in, you know, like when you're doing breathing exercises and just checking in to see what hurts or what's aching, and then asking your womb, like, why is that? Like, and sometimes you'll get like little flutters in your stomach, like, or little cramps. So for me, like, I remember I slept with this one person, and then like I started cramping like immediately after, and I was like, oh, she's pissed. And we ain't doing no more. So it's like, but when that connection, you start to, you're like, all right, girl, I'm sorry. Like, my bad. We slipped up. Like, but it's, yeah. So I think like everybody, you know, like they say, our gut is our second brain. Our womb is, you know, we bridge the portal between life and the physical world. So,
yes.
Or spiritual world. So just, even putting your hand on your vagina and just thinking about how powerful she is. It's always to connect, you know, like I said, touching without pleasure, without trying to please yourself, just getting to know, or even looking, taking a mirror. It's like, when the last time you looked at your vagina, like, do you ever look just to see, you know, what's changed? Colors change throughout the cycle. You know, we may have hair bumps or ingrown or whatever, like, what, do you acknowledge her in a way that you show her care, to like look through and see what's going on down there? Or do you just acknowledge her to have sex? Is that just a place for sex for you? And that's, I get a lot of women like that, like, oh, I don't think about mine outside of having sex. My thing is, I don't think about my vagina having sex. I think about it outside of having sex.
Yeah, I think we've all been kind of trained, like, it's off limits unless you're having sex. Like, don't touch it, don't look at it, don't, nothing. Yeah, that's bad.
But then the sex is not even to please you.
Yeah. Lord, we got to unlearn some things.
So that you can have sex.
Internet. Hold on, your internet is...
What?
Your connection is bad. We can't. You froze.
So it.
Oh, there you go. Is she back?
Yeah. So that's why I'm here, to help you unlearn. That's why I'm here, to help unlearn some things.
Yes, we got some work to do. So, how important? No. Let me ask this one. Can community and sisterhood play a role in breaking these generational cycles?
Absolutely. I think some of the things that are passed down to us show up reproductively just because we don't have that sisterhood, or we never had that sisterhood. You know, there's, you might have a mom who doesn't talk to her sister. Her mom ain't speak to her mom in 10 years. Like, all of those. And then you wonder why. Some women asked me recently, like, do you think my childhood could be the reason why it's hard for me to make friends with women? And I'm like, yeah, especially if you don't come from a household or a family who have feminine bonds with each other. I had a friend who I was allowing her to stay with me when I was pregnant, and she shared with me that she was kind of jealous of my friendships. And she was like, you know, I didn't think that there were real, genuine friends, like, people could be real and genuine, because I've watched my, you know, women that I referred to as aunties when I was younger, and when my mom would go to work, they would come and be with my dad. Wow. So she's like, we never really had real friendships. And I realized that about her too. Like, she didn't really have, I have all these friends that like from childhood that I'm still cool with and stuff like that. And even though I am a loner for the most part, I'm very well connected to people. And she didn't have any bonds with anybody like that she could even call in a crunch. And I'm like, why you don't have no like real friends? And it's because she grew up thinking that women weren't genuine or real because of what she saw. And that's generationally now passed down to her, you know, until she saw how I am with my mom. She was like, wow, like you have a beautiful relationship with your mom. You have a beautiful relationship with the women in your life. And it made her reflect on her childhood.
Wow, that is interesting. I never even thought about that's true, because a lot of times you'll hear people saying like, oh, Black women don't like each other. They don't hang with each other. They don't have a lot of friends. And it's like,
because they're so disconnected from their wombs and themselves and the women in their life. Because we all come from each generation prior to ours is even more disconnected than we are. So it's like, you know, we're thinking back to these relationships and it's like, there weren't many.
Nope. You are so right.
Many. And then to this day, like I have this book called Pussy Prayers, and I was reading about it today, and she was saying how, like, you know, there are women that say that they can't make friends with other women, or they, you know, they have more guy friends and stuff. It's because there's something about them that there's a disconnect when it comes to their femininity, when it comes to, you know, the things that make them a woman. Maybe they didn't have that feminine nurturing from their mom, regardless if they've had great feminine relationships, even if they had just their mother. But back then, like I said, those generations are even further removed from the feminine experience. It was like, my mom, like, how did you learn about your period? She's like, learn about my period. Like,
yep.
Like, yeah. Like, no, there was no conversation. So, I appreciate that now people are becoming a little more open to the conversation. I'm like, we all have a vagina, came out of a vagina, seen one, touched one, been in one. Like, why can't we talk about it?
Yeah, it's taboo. I don't know why.
Y'all want to talk about everything else. You talk about detoxing your skin, your liver, your kidneys, everything, but nobody wants to talk about detoxing their womb.
Nope. No, but for some reason, our womb is always up for discussion in Congress or somewhere else, but we can't have real conversations about it.
No, anywhere. No, all these men can make decisions on what we do with our wombs, but we can't even have conversations about it.
Nope.
Even sometimes when people come up to my table, it's like, they want to be on. And I'm like, huh? Like, all loud. It's like, no, we
you want to talk about your pussy?
I got pussy care over here.
Right. Y'all better quit being secret. Listen.
I had a girl. I was at a pop-up over the summer, and this one lady came up to my table and she asked me about my products. But she was like on the hush, and she was like, oh, but what if, you know, what if somebody sees this in my shower? I said, soap?
Like, first of all, if they're in your shower, they're seeing a lot of stuff.
But it's just so, she was like, yeah, but it's for down there and this and that. So then she walks away, and then I guess the host saw her outside. So she's like, oh, how's the event? Did you like it or whatever? She was like, yeah, except that girl talking all loud about vaginas. So she came up and she was like, you good? I'm like, yeah, what's going on? She was like, no, I'm trying to make sure you're good, because the crazy lady just came downstairs talking about you, was talking about vagina. She was like, but I know you. She's like, you're not even loud. And she's like, but we all have one. Like, why is, she's like, I don't understand why. What is the problem? I'm like,
oh my God.
Fine. I don't get easily triggered by things like that. But it just was funny to me. And she's like, well, what if somebody sees it in my shower? I'm like, girl, you don't wash your vagina. Because that's a whole nother thing, whether you use soap or water.
Oh, God.
Lady, I have that conversation.
I can't.
Oh, that's just fun. Use water. Vagina is self-cleansing. I'm like, yes, the vaginal canal is self-cleansing, but the vulva is not.
Yeah, okay? I'm going to need you to wash it, please.
I'm going to need you to put some gentle soap that's formulated for the vagina on there in the crevices keep it moving because you can't tell me that water is taking away bacteria, sweat, or like, no. Fluids, all that. Like, come on.
Yeah. No, no.
I've had women just use soap and then use my bar, and then they're like, oh my God, girl, this is the best soap ever. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, I don't have a scent. I have my own scent. This, we all have our own little scent. But then they would use the soap and they wouldn't smell nothing. And they're like, oh. Yes, yeah. It can be like,
ma'am, I need you to get your life together, okay?
Yes. Together. I'm out here trying to build coochie confidence. Because when your coochie is confident, so is everything else in your life. I don't care what day you are having. I don't care how nice it is outside or whatever. But when you're angry down there, the world is angry. You're off.
Yeah.
You're off your game. But when
you everybody else off around you.
No. When you're in alignment down there, life is good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what advice would you give women who are just beginning to explore the connection between trauma and their womb health?
Be open-minded. Like we said, there's a lot of unlearning. So be open-minded. And read.
Oh.
Read.
Oh.
A lot of us don't like to read. Mm-hmm. And anything that's over a paragraph is like too much information. But it's like we have to read. We have to get past the overstimulation of a reel or something on Instagram where we can get information and really like sit and like, there's a book called The Fifth Vital Sign, which is a great book about your period being one of your fifth vital signs. So like a vital sign is like your blood pressure, your heart rate. Your period is one of those vital signs, and paying attention to her can show you a lot of other things that's off in your life. Sacred Woman is a great book to start with by Queen Afua.
I love Queen Afua.
Yes. And lastly, Pussy Prayers is a really great book too. So I would start with these three books, and they're like Bibles. It's not something that you have to read from front to back. It's just something sometimes like I'll just ask spirit, like, what's the message today? What prayer do I need to read? And I'll just open it to a page and, you know, so yeah, there's if you're into pulling cards, which I meant to bring them, I wanted to pull them, but there's a deck called Sacred Cycles, and it talks about your seasons of your menstrual cycle, the seasons of the weather and the moon phases, and how everything correlates to a woman's menstrual cycle. And that also helped me connect to my womb as well.
That's great advice. Y'all read. Come on, y'all. We got to do better. We definitely got to do better. Okay.
We always say, if you don't want nobody to find out anything, put it in the book. Because
listen, you ain't lying. That's what they said, and it's been holding true for a long time.
Right.
My last two questions. I ask every guest these same two questions. First one. What is the best advice you've ever received?
Give yourself grace. So many times I think I'm supposed to be where I'm supposed to be, where I think I'm supposed to be. And, you know, just acknowledging every step is a step. Baby steps, big steps, they're all steps. And I'm in a season of celebrating every win, whether it's big or small. And I've had so many huge moments that we're just always chasing the next moment. We're not ever present in, you know, this accomplishment. So I would say, you know, give yourself grace and be present.
That's good. That's good. I like that. Last question. What advice would you give 15-year-old Bianca?
Both of those. I would tell her that life gets better. Because 15-year-old Bianca, my dad passed away in 2 years. I was 17, my dad passed away. So I would tell her that it gets better. Yeah.
That's true.
Like I always think about my younger self and like the things that I used to be into and things I'm into now and just the woman that I've become. I grew up in pageants like Hal Jackson, and I used to always do Phenomenal Woman by Maya Angelou as my talent. And to just think that I've grown up to be a phenomenal woman.
Manifest.
That's what I would tell her. You've grown up to be a phenomenal woman.
Good job. And you have.
Thank you. You're
coming on this platform and educating us. And yes, just sharing your
gift. Much. I hope you learned something tonight.
What? First of all, I learned something. I'm about to order something. I'm excited. Yes, ma'am. You definitely shared a lot, and it was necessary. It was on time, and I appreciate you. You can let the people know how they can follow you, how they can order stuff, anything you need them to know, because they need to know who you are.
So on Instagram, I'm BU Beauty Official. It's BEYOU Beauty Official. Our website is BUBeauty.com. We're Coochie Conversations podcast is streaming on all digital platforms. If you are in New Jersey, we are opening our first Yoni Steam Suite / we're offering scalp detoxes, Yoni Steams, and foot detoxes at the Wellness. And it's inside a Black-owned Luxe salon. And we'll have a holistic room in there, and we'll be offering our services. So if you're in the New Jersey area ever, come check us out. And that's at House of Beauty in East Rutherford.
Okay, come on. Let's go. Yes. I love it. That's awesome. Y'all make sure y'all go and support Bianca, okay? Get this kit. You know
come
somebody.
Get the products.
Y'all know somebody with
a Coochie. I didn't even go into them, but this is going to be the best product you ever use down there.
I want the whole thing. I want everything. Y'all know somebody with a Coochie. You've been in one. You came out of one, or you created one. So yes. Get the daggone kit and get the people the Coochie kit. We need some help out here in these Coochie streets, okay? Help the people. Look, y'all know who I am. I'm Didi Leggett, a.k.a. the Core Queen. I'm here with another episode. Next week, I'll be back with the last two episodes are coming up for season 3 of the Core Queen Chat. So y'all make sure y'all tap in. We're going to always talk about trauma and healing from it in every way that we can. From the inside out, we're trying to heal all communities across the board. So y'all know what I need y'all to do. I need y'all to go to YouTube. Y'all don't like to listen. YouTube. I need y'all to like, subscribe, comment, share everything about this daggone podcast on YouTube. If you're on Facebook right now, I want you to go to YouTube and leave a comment on this video. Share it with your folks. Let them know that we're here every Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Same place, same time, every week. Y'all, make sure y'all check me out on all my platforms. Didi Leggett, The Core Queen, wherever. You can Google me. You can get my book, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma. It's on Amazon, and it is on my website, thecorequeen.com/book. Please get this book. It is really helping people all over the world. It's amazing. Get the book. We need to break these cycles, y'all.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I will be back next week with somebody that's going to help us with some money, okay? And I got a lot of stuff coming up. Follow me on my platform so you can find out what it is. And huge shout out to my hometown, Bristol, Pennsylvania. Y'all showed up this past weekend for my 3rd annual Back to School Bash in honor of my grandmother, Evelyn Joyce Leggett, who passed away January 6, 2024. My nonprofit, Evelyn Joy Community Outreach, we did a big Back to School Bash. The children had an amazing time. We had so much fun. They loved the ponies that they got to ride. They loved the free food, water ice, the games, the bouncy house. They had a great time. All my volunteers, my sponsors, and the people that donated, I appreciate y'all from the bottom of my heart. Y'all make it a great event every year. I'll see y'all next year. I thank y'all. See y'all next week. We are out.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.